So first of all, as Reverend Mother Mary Agnes explained on Friday, the beginnings of our religious congregation were in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So that's about 20 minutes from here, the city of Coeur d'Alene. And we had there the first bookstore, what we called Mary Immaculate Queen's Center, also a convent for sisters and a house of religious formation for the brothers. And that began in 1967. In 1968, this property was purchased, 100 acres, and at that time, much less developed than you see now, obviously, including a gravel road coming up to the property and no parking lots, just footpaths and so forth. In Coeur d'Alene, not only did our religious communities grow, but also families moved here. The laity moved here, and they wanted a school for their children. And so in 1968, the school began, and believe it or not, Brother Joseph was the first principal of the school. And so the brothers and the sisters would teach the children. And the purpose of this property was to have, so to speak, a retreat away from the world, to find a location that would be removed, that would be quiet, an atmosphere of retreat and prayer. So this church was built, and it was completed, or at least the first Mass was offered on the Feast of St. Philomena, August the 11th, 1969. And that Mass was offered in the basement. The upper part wasn't complete yet, but was completed by Christmas of that year, 1969. The original church ended right here where I'm standing, where you can see the difference in height of the ceiling, and went back only to about where the organ is. So then we've had two additions. We had the front part of the church was around 1980, the vestibule, the cry room, the entryway. And then we added on a new sanctuary in 1999. And adding on the sanctuary is much smaller, as you can imagine, before then. And so it all not only gave us a larger sacristy, much needed sacristy space and sanctuary, but also downstairs we have two classrooms. So we have a high school classroom and a kindergarten room. We have the lower, what we call the lower school, the grade school, has grades 1 through 8 down on the other side of the gym, which you'll be able to visit later. As I mentioned, there are about 100 acres here, so most of them are undeveloped. But one thing that I treasure here is that we have a cemetery. And our cemetery was begun in 1972 with the first burials there, 72. And since then, of course, probably a total of about 100 burials in our cemetery. But once we had a cemetery formed at Mount St. Michael and dedicated, then most of the burials, including parishioners from here, were at Mount St. Michael. So I think that cemetery started in 1985. So for those first 13 years, we only had this cemetery. Both cemeteries have been consecrated by His Excellency, and it's a beautiful ceremony, the solemn blessing of a cemetery, consecrated ground. And I mention this because most of our parishes around the country do not have their own cemetery, but it's something I treasure that we have ours here, a beautiful place to visit, and you'll be able to do so if you wish after these opening remarks. But I want to get back to education. I mentioned that our religious community, of course, we have our spirit of devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and her message, the title of the queenship, and the devotion of Saint, taught by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, of total consecration. But in addition to that, a very important part of our religious congregation, of our spirit, is the education of children. I first began to teach myself in 1974, and I'll mention a little bit about that later because of the minor seminary. But many of our religious have been involved in the work of education. And both here and at Mount St. Michael, we are now into educating our third generation. So we're educating the grandchildren of individuals who went through our school many years ago. Of course, our schools began. We had a school up here at first, and then eventually they were segregated. We had separate schools for boys and girls. both grade school and high school, some of them located in Coeur d'Alene and some of the classrooms up here. I mentioned there are several unique things about this church. First of all, it was our first parish church, Mary Immaculate Queen Church, the first church of the congregation. We had a small chapel in Coeur d'Alene, St. Joseph's Chapel, but this is our very first church. Second, it was built by our own men. It wasn't something where we had to hire outside contractors to come in and build the church. Our own parishioners built it, including the two modifications I mentioned. We also have a third stage of expansion planned for next spring and summer, which will be to raise the roof of the church, the main part, the nave, where you are seated, to the height, the same height as we have in the sanctuary. And that will also include an enlargement of the basement to give us more room for a parish hall. So God willing, that will be next summer's project here to expand. But we continue here with the work of education. And it is very important to us because it represents the future of Holy Mother Church. There are many families who do not have a school close enough to send their children to, and so they homeschool their children. And that is wonderful that they're raising their children, they're teaching the children themselves in order to safeguard them, safeguard their morals and teach them the truths of the faith. But where we are able to have schools, it is a wonderful thing to do. And the work that the religious, especially the religious sisters, accomplish by teaching children is beyond words, beyond ability to explain, because the children need to be formed from their earliest years. We have seen this very sadly before in different parts of the country, where you have the parents who are strong in their faith, but their children grow up and eventually maybe wander away. And of course, we pray for their return to the faith. But that highlights the importance of an early education. Now, we acquired Mount St. Michael in 1978. To be exact, the papers were signed on December 31st, 1977, and we took possession of the building in 1978. So we had this big move that summer in late August from our schools, our seminary in Coeur d'Alene, to move to Mount St. Michael. I remember that well. 3 days of working almost around the clock, just stopping for our prayers and a quick bite to eat, and then working, moving all the furniture, etc., into the mount. And at first, from that point, 1978, until the sisters moved in, it was a residence of the priests and brothers, and that's where our seminary was located. Then eventually the seminary was moved to Omaha, and if I remember, that was in 1989. And then some years after that, I think 1995, the sisters moved into the Mount. So the Mount, of course, is our largest school. We have here only about 30 children, but I have great hope for expansion, because last year we had 9 baptisms, and this year we've had so far eight or nine baptisms of children. And so it's wonderful to see the church growing through our families. I remember, I know some of you are from St. Cloud, Minnesota, and when Father Brendan first got his church and I went and had a mass on Sunday, I said to Father Brendan, at that time he had no microphone and no cry room in the back. And so my sermon was a competition with all the babies in the church. But I told him afterwards, you need a microphone and you need a cry room here, which now they have. But at the same time, it was a joy to see all of the young families and knowing that here are Catholic parents very serious about how they're going to raise their children. And that, again, is the future of the church. So education is very important to us. We have not only schools here at Mount St. Michael, but in other parts of the country. And, of course, the bishop also has a congregation of religious who teach in schools. Now, I want to come back to this property. I mentioned that it is unique for a number of reasons. Our first church, it also was one of only now 2 or 3 churches built by our own parishioners. Of course, we have the Bishop's Church in Omaha, Mary Immaculate Church, and now we have a church being built in Western Colorado. But other than that, as far as I can recall, all of our other churches were purchased, most of them Protestant churches that we had to purchase and then remodel into Catholic churches, purchasing buildings that already existed. We do have a couple that previously had been Catholic churches, one in Oakland, Maine, and the other, of course, Mount St. Michael. And those had to been purchased. We know we call the words of our Lord, be wise as serpents and simple as doves. The diocese didn't want to sell to us, to those sede vicontists, or sometimes they call us those Tridentines. That's a funny name that kind of locally was developed by some writer, journalist, the Tridentines, just because we said, well, our Mass is the Tridentine Latin Mass. So they give us different names, but they don't want to sell to that group and those people, those sede vicontists. And so we've had to purchase the churches that were from the diocese, or in the case of the Mount, from the Jesuits, by our lay people purchasing them and then signing it over to the parish corporation. So I would like to tell you what we have here. Oh, and one other point is that we had here a girls' school. So at one point, the girls' school was here, and when we first moved into the Mount, it was an all-boys school. And then eventually, just because of the logistics and transportation, and the majority of our parishioners who previously lived in northern Idaho moved to Spokane, so then eventually it made sense to move the girls' school as well to Spokane. So we had this building built by our men that's a little to the east of here on the property, the other large building you see on the property. So for a while that was vacant. We rented it to a parish family for a short time, and part of the time it was vacant. And I was the pastor here. I began in the early 80s as pastor coming back and forth from the Mount. I lived up here for 2 years then, from 86 to 88, and then again back at the Mount. And as I mentioned, I was a teacher, so there was a greater need for teaching at the Mount. But I realized after a while, as you get older, back and forth, all that travel becomes a little difficult. And also, I had wanted to begin a minor seminary. There are a number of reasons why. One of them was that I went to a minor seminary because I recognized a vocation from the time I was quite young. And that's not uncommon for boys to feel a call to the priesthood. Maybe they serve Mass as altar boys, and they maybe talk to a priest, or they see the priest in the sacristy, and they have this thought, maybe God is calling me to become a priest. But the Council of Trent asked, or rather really commanded, that there should be seminaries that would take boys who are as young as 12 or 13 years of age. And actually, in this country, minor seminaries were very common before Vatican II. Shortly after Vatican II, almost all of them closed their doors, which is interesting because if you Google minor seminary, ours is the first one that comes up, because it's the only one in this country. There may be one other one. And so we sometimes get requests from parents who have a boy, and they just go to their regular Novus Ordo, and they have no idea exactly who we are. And so they call, and then once I tell them, usually that's the end of it. But we have had those inquiries. So we began this minor seminary in 1999. Now, a minor seminary is very different from a major seminary. Our major seminary in Omaha is for young men who have graduated from high school. So they're 18 on up. And of course, there they learn the theology, the canon law, the scripture studies, and everything else that a priest has to learn. 6 years, as the bishop mentioned, of education in the major seminary. But a minor seminary is to prepare a boy who has a vocation or believes he has a vocation for the major seminary. Excuse me. And so it's preserving them from the world and the corruption of the world and giving them an atmosphere where their vocation can be nurtured and developed. Our education in the minor seminary is really that of a Catholic high school plus Latin, 4 years of Latin. Choir is very important to us as well. And of course, then they have the 4 years of theology, of high school religion classes. And it's a boarding school. So they live there. They can go home on occasion on a weekend if they live close enough or they live a distance. They go home for Christmas and then during the summer, possibly Easter time during vacation. But it's a boarding school, so they have daily mass, common prayer, and a routine, a schedule. Right now, our seminary is very small. We just have 3 students with another one coming next month. But I would like to ask your prayers, and if you're interested, I put copies in the vestibule here in the church of our newsletter. It's called The Guardian, and it's free of charge to those who would like to subscribe. The bishop has a newsletter called The Adsum, and I know most of you receive that. And if you're not on the mailing list for that, you can write to Omaha and ask to be included on the mailing list. And then with ours, we put some out with an address form on the inside that you can fill out and leave with us or mail in. Certainly, we appreciate donations, but it's not required to be on the mailing list. I believe the work of our seminaries is vitally important. And I'm not discouraged by the fact that we have many boys who come to the minor seminary. Very often, maybe it's because their pastor encouraged them or their parents, and they're not sure if they have a vocation. And perhaps after their education, they decide they don't have a vocation and don't continue on to the major seminary. But it is a wonderful opportunity to safeguard the spiritual life of the young men and allow that seed of vocation to grow and to be nurtured. Now, speaking of being safeguarded, that is the